Okay, so in order to, we're going to pull ourselves back together and we're going to review where we were, because hopefully, as I've discovered, it's the kummer and that we're at the culmination of the study of the Makot. Okay, but just a very brief review. So we'll go through. We learn in your charts that some of you have, okay,
I can copy yours.
I don't know where mine is. Okay, is that? Yeah, where is mine? Okay, I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
Oh, it's not here. Not in here.
Let's pause this for a second. But we'll continue, please. Okay, so we did. Remember, each series we had Dam Tzvardei Akinim, Aro Devashim, Bar Bachoshes. Okay, and in each one of them, the first of each was considered what we said was Lema'an Teida. It was an educational. It was a divining of God, if you recall. Okay, it was to show the presence of God and then the power of God. If you recall, the first one is Ki Ani Hashem, but we always saw that language of in each first one Lema'an Teida, so that you would know. So Dam was Lema'an Teida Ki Ani Hashem. Aro Lema'an Teida Ki Ani Hashem Bekerav Haaretz. Barad Bavur Teida Ki Ein Kamoni Bechol Haaretz. If we just remember the progression of Lema'an Teida. And in each one was with Yitzev Babokir, because it was about developing the divinity of God. Okay, stand drunk. Each one there was a progression. The second of each one was Tzvardeya, was Ima Ein Ata L'Shaleach. It was Shalach Et Ami V'Yavduni. It was about coercion. It was a step up from the first one. It was about coercion of the Egyptians in order to get them to send the Jewish people. That was, so we had Tzvardeya, and we had Arab Dever, where Dever we saw Ima Ein Ata L'Shaleach, if you don't send them out. And then Arbe, one second, Ki Ima Ein Ata L'Shaleach. Each time we saw this theme. And then the third one, what was the idea of the third one?
No warning.
No warning. So we decided that it must be some kind of punishment. Okay, and each one. And remember we saw...
In each, there was no warning.
There's no warning in each of the third one. Oh. Correct. It was just boom. Okay? And then remember we saw a progression about who was doing each one. And the first three, who did each one?
Aaron.
The second one? Moshe.
Wasn't it Moshe?
And Aaron. And the third one? Moshe. Progression of each one. Okay?
With the staff, not his hand.
With the staff, not with his hand. Correct? Okay? Well, then we even saw another thing. We had a theme of Machar, remember? We had that theme of like tomorrow. We saw that over and over again, the theme of Machar. So with all of that introduction, so we have this like, on the one hand, this vertical and also this horizontal integration of these progressions. Okay, we now come to Makat B'Chorot. So what we expect to see is, we'll expect to see some hint of each one of these things in Makat B'Chorot, which I think we do, but you'll tell me if you think it's a stretch or not. Okay? I don't think it's that much of a stretch, it's a little bit of a stretch. The problem is actually the third one. How do you do a punishment, how do you give a warning without giving a warning? Now, obviously, so you have to give a warning. So
you had 9 warnings.
What?
You had 9 warnings.
Right, but I'm saying, remember
you
each
had
one.
Six that, warnings.
That you had.
No, that the actions were.
Remember, right. But the problem of the
Wait,
third, each of the third, Kinim.
There was one.
No,
that
I'm saying
that
he gave a warning.
Get a warning, but the plague was.
Right.
Plague.
If it's a punishment, there is no warning. That's why they have Kinim, Maru Devashkin, Barad Abba Choshev. There is no warning. You're just saying each one of those. So how do you have
I'm
a progression?
How does
Makat B'Chorot fit into
plague.
That fit as a punishment?
The actual plague itself, the experience of the plague itself.
Yes, was a punishment.
It could also be a warning, but it was an annoyance. The first one was an annoyance. It wasn't really anything.
No, the theory that we developed was that because there's no warning, whenever you hit somebody without a warning, it's just a punishment.
But also, could they have interpreted it as natural disaster?
No, but that was the point. That was a progression. It was part of the... just happened. Okay, so we're now in Shemot, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk He. When we get to B'chorot. Shemot, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk He. Given that introduction.
I've been warning my kids that I have a Tzvar Torah.
Are you going to do this on Seder night?
But
it's
a lunch Tzvar Torah, not a Seder.
You're going to do that on the Seder?
I'm going to do one
Tzvar Torah. One Tzvar Torah over 72 hours. It's a long, long, long Torah. Okay, everybody with me? Okay, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. By Yomer Moshe. Take it back. Let's go back before we get to it. God telling Moshe. Perek Yud Aleph, the beginning of Yud Aleph. Okay? By Yomer Hashem El Moshe. Od nega echad avi al paro ve al mitzrayim. Achreichen yishalach etchem nizeh. One more nega. Interesting, the word nega. What's a nega?
Like my.
No.
That's what it's trying to affliction.
Right, from the word, from the root. It's affliction from the root.
To touch.
To touch. Mm-hmm. Right, nega from the word nega. The nega appears generally nega tzarat.
Nega is, right, from last week's parsha, you still get nega a lot. But nega, nega b'machala. Nega and machala go together.
Right, but this idea of the touch of, but it's a touch of. When we talk about it, it's a touch of God, actually. So these are references to touch of God. Okay, yishalach mizeh, I'll get you out of here. Kishalcho kala, garesh yigaresh etchem mizeh. Anyone? Kishalcho kala.
When the ending is done.
What does that mean?
When the ending has arrived, when the sending is done. Sorry.
Kishalcho kala.
When the sending kishalcho kasher shalcho
kala
is done.
Kala means total or complete. Rashi says kala means kalil. Kulchem is kala.
Okay.
He will send all of you. Garesh you garesh et chemizeh. That's a tricky interpretation.
You will be chased.
You will surely be garesh. You will be driven out.
Expelled.
Yeah, that's a weird
sending
language.
Who?
Okay.
Sending,
what?
It says sending him in singular. What's that?
Okay. Daber na ba'azneham. So then tell the people.
Well, because Parah is going to send you out.
Right.
Kishalcho. Oh. When his sending of you is complete.
Garesh you garesh at them. They're going to just
he
expel
will.
You. They're going to the garesh. He's going to
kick you out.
So the Kliyaka says Moshe's upset about that. Well, that's not good. They're kicking us out. It's like a low thing. It's a very degrading thing. No, no problem. Daber na ba'azneham. Yishalu ishmiet ve'eu isha ve'esh ruta klei kesef klei zahav. So you're going to borrow, right? Clay kesef, items of silver and gold. So, to our discussion about Kapachorot, it's not kashur. I wanted it for the first Od Nega Echad Avi, right? The announcement that God told Moshe this announcement, and we don't know what the Nega is going to be. Okay, but it is kashur to the idea of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We've discussed in the past, this I know for sure, the idea of the Jewish people becoming a nation has very much to do with their self-esteem, their self-stature as a nation. You can't become a nation unless you think of yourself as such. So it's interesting that God ensured that the Jewish people would psychologically also see themselves as a people. That, like, you know what I'm saying? It's one thing for them to kick us out. It's another thing for them to esteem us and, like, oh, can I have your... You know, you remember that iPad? You know, you got your new phone? I really like it. You know what I'm saying? And they go, please take my phone. You Jews are very important now. Like, it's a very different thing. Like, as a good example, you see in Megillat Esther, right, the difference between before Mordechai rose to power and after Mordechai rose to power. Right, before Mordechai rises to power, you dirty Jew. After Mordechai rises to power, Mr. Jew, how are you? Everybody loves the Jews. You know, it shifts. Okay, so this is the first time in history where that shift takes place. We're good. Now we're Makapa Chorot. Okay? Vayomer Moshe, Ko Amar Hashem. So Moshe is clearly talking to Paro. So says God. Kachatzot halayla, ani yotze betoch mitzrayim.
It sounds like a warning.
I'm smiling. What?
Sounds like
oh, the warning is going to get worse. There's going to be a warning. Well, the problem is obviously... Chazal says, stand on this right away. Everybody understand why is it a problem? What should it say? Right. Bachatzot halayla, i.e. at midnight. Okay.
So is he saying like approximately at midnight?
Yes. Doesn't it sound like that?
You know, it's like, it makes me
so that's like why? What God didn't know when midnight falls?
And we misinterpreted.
Right?
It could be any around that.
We'll get to tomorrow. Hold on a second.
Or like a little bit of the fear that you're like, even before you have that fear, even before chatzot comes, that they're going to start getting nervous. Oh my God, it's almost chatzot.
Uh huh.
What about also the idea of midnight and darkness? It's the middle of the night when the darkness is dark.
Wait, very good. So there's two ways to read it. Okay, you could read it Kachatzot Halayla. So Rina said it should be Bachatzot Halayla, meaning at midnight. Okay? There's another way of reading it. Kachatzot Halayla.
When it says dark as.
Like the middle of the night. Ani yotze betoch mitzayim. So Rashi says it's interesting. If you look at Rashi, but you don't have, because I told you to meet you. Okay? Kachatzot Halayla. Kehechalek Halayla. Kachatot kmo ka'alot. Like when the night is divided, like the night is divided, I'm going to like what the chatzot halayla. What is midnight do? What's the point of midnight? What does it divide between?
Night and day, or one day and the next day.
Well, not really. It divides.
Not halachically, but
for us, it's.
It divides between going down, like the darkness.
And the daytime.
It's getting darker and getting lighter. Okay, kachatzot halayla. So God is going to go in between, right, and divide between Jew and non-Jew, between Egyptian and so like that's one interpretation. Kachatzot halayla. The only question you have to ask yourself is, if you were God and you wanted to use that imagery, or you wanted to use imagery of a divider, would you use midnight? Would you use midnight as a, you know, would that be the imagery that you wanted to use? That God is going, I am like the darkness of the night. Really? That's not really what you want to use.
With some of the plagues where the Jews weren't afflicted, but the Egyptians were.
We're going to get to that.
That is the break.
No, that is clearly that there's going to be a, you're going to see. It doesn't have to use imagery. It's going to be like that. So
but
Chazal say that that's not what it means. It means kachatzot halayla. Approximately.
I looked somewhere that they related to the ten, I mean not to the ten, to creation. So the first creation was light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember
more than okay. You also have the 7 days. So what's the tenth?
That's what I don't.
Yeah. Okay. No. So it's interesting. The Midrash says that it means at approximately midnight. The problem is obviously, right? God doesn't know when midnight is. In fact, they say God is the only God. Only God knows when exactly midnight is.
No,
human beings can't survive.
We don't.
What?
Yeah.
Right, but meaning anyway, only in his divine wisdom can he define the exact moment. So why wouldn't he say bachatzot? Let me say that. What should be the midrash? So the midrash says, the Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu bachatzot. God did say bachatzot, but then when Moshe said this to Paro, ata'ihu va'amar kachatzot. So when Moshe conveyed the message to Paro, he said, at approximately midnight. Why would he do that? Lama. Moshe kesavar, shema yit'u itzdagninei paro. Moshe figured that maybe the magicians of Paro would make a mistake. Shiagia chatzot, that chatzot would come. Yusvurim shekvar higia va'adayin lo'abaz. Maybe their clocks would be off. Right? Then they would say, oh, chatzot came, nothing. Their guard isn't anything. Okay, Vayomer, and they would say, Moshe, Badayu, Moshe is a liar. The Amar Mar, so therefore he said, Kachatzot. The Amar Mar said, Limad Lishoncha Lomar Eli Yodea. Learn to say, I don't know. Shema Titvadeh Vete Aches. Because if you say, yeah, I'm going to build a wall, you know what I'm saying? And then they're going to say, you're an idiot, because what you say makes no sense at all.
That's somewhat disturbing.
Why?
Because he begins with the preface of Ko Amar Hashem.
So saith the Lord. Yeah, right.
And then he kind of changes it.
Well, Moshe's always interpreting the words of the Lord. It is very interesting. That's what the Midrash says. Why would God say, why would God say, Kachatzot? Now, I have another problem with the Midrash. How long are they going to make a mistake? How often are they going to be?
Well,
How many? A minute? 2 minutes? Oh, Moshe's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Really?
Whatever
like,
it is, it is.
That's what you're worried about?
Yeah. I was telling Rima before, it reminds me of when Moshe, you know, they had said 40 days, they'll go up.
Oh.
And then they miscalculate.
How long did they miscalculate? How long did they miscalculate?
6 hours.
By a day. They were a day off.
It's the same.
Right. But in a day, you can cause real damage. How much damage? Like, Moshe's a liar. It's, oh, Moshe was wrong. Moshe was wrong. Give me 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like, really?
But maybe.
You don't think they would say maybe? Let's wait a minute. Let's see if we're really correct.
No, but maybe no. If they, like sometimes they said that it wasn't 100% clear who was, like, if they would have had these big doubts and rebelled, maybe Hashem would have killed them. Well, maybe.
I don't know. What are you trying to say? I'm not understanding what you're trying to say.
Can Israel have doubts, you mean?
The Jews?
Like, maybe the plague, because sometimes it wasn't 100% clear who got hit by the plague and who didn't get hit by the plague.
What?
And who considered themselves part of Israel and who didn't.
Yeah.
And maybe if they, like they go, okay, Moshe made a mistake, this is all wrong, and then...
This is actually, you're going to see, this is exactly the case where we're going to see it's not Jew and non-Jew. It's identify and non-identify. We're going to see exactly that, okay? But it's very interesting. My mom points out, what day? What day? When is it going to happen? What? They'll find me. What day? Later, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you should take a seh, right? And you should offer it. And then Moshe tells the Jewish people, Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh v'iketi kol b'chor. But in the warning, what day is going to happen? Tachatzot ha'layla, in the middle of the night.
He doesn't say.
He doesn't say. So the Ramban says, Lo pirish eza layla. Didn't say which one.
That's how it's a warning, but not a warning.
Okay, the dibur was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He told him 2 weeks in advance. The kasher yomar kachatzot alayla lo yodia v'hinei lo hodia Moshe lo makatam. Moshe told him, didn't tell him what day it would be. He said, b'chariyaf, I'm never going to see you again. Bye. We're going to see. So he runs out in anger. Yeah, I'm never going to see you again.
Not knowing when it's going to happen.
Yeah, as he said, I'll never see it. When is it going to come? Which day?
Tomorrow.
Ding.
Amazing.
Boom. Yeah, this whole thing. Remember
the
Machar. Yeah, right, because who started the Machar?
Para.
Para started the Machar. Remember, it's like, when do you want me to get rid of it? Tomorrow. Right. No, you never got it. Why Para said tomorrow? I'm tougher than you.
Right.
I can handle it for another day. Right, so it's this subtle, like according to this Ramban, I thought it was very powerful because I was looking, Machar does not appear textually, but it appears hidden in the text. That if you hold like the Ramban, they never told him which day, every night, is this a night?
Tomorrow.
Like, what?
The sun won't come out tomorrow.
Yeah. Ostensibly, like one wonders, like when the Jews are doing their preparations, when Moshe told the Jewish people, like, you know, on this night God will come, did they hear? Did the Jews tell them? You know, like, it's very interesting. It's not clear, but until that point, until like a week in, like, when's it going to be? When's it going to be? When's it going to be? They're all freaking out. Okay.
Plenty of time to make
them. Plenty of time to what?
Make bread. But they also were doubting in their belief. They also, that's why they...
The matzah is they were, first of all, they were commanded to take matzah, to eat the matzah on the Melel Pesach. That original night, it was clear you have to eat matzah. The question isn't, why didn't they have matzah on that night? The question is, why did they have more bread? Like
Pesach should be a one-day chag.
What?
It should be a one-day chag.
But we're leaving.
Right, so they should put if they knew they were leaving, they could have made the bread.
You would
we're
think.
We're too busy getting the tambourines ready.
Yes, they were too busy. Okay.
Borrowing the silver from the neighbors.
Borrowing the silver. If you, right. Like I always said, the men would be the one borrowing the silver. What would the women be doing other than the tambourines?
Packing.
Packing what?
Food.
Lunch. Right. If you're really going, you know, what are we going to eat? Okay. Umeit kol. So, kachatzot dintot mitzrayim. Umeit kol b'chor be'eretz mitzrayim. Mi'b'chor paro ha'yoshev al kiso. Ad b'chor ha'shivcha asher achar v'rechayim. V'chol b'chor behima. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt will die from the b'chor paro who's sitting on his chair, the prince of Paro, up to the Bechor Hashivcha, the lowest Bechor of the lowest maidservant, Achar HaRechayim, who's sitting behind the grinding wheel, Bechor Bechor Behema, and every Bechor Behema. So it's very interesting. Chazal asks, okay.
What? Were the animals left?
There must have, they brought him in. Was that in the pestilence? I don't know. There must have been animals. We know that they had the Sus Paro still. So they must have some animals left.
They took all the
Jews? Right. But they took them, Barab.
And then they were afflicted. They took them in after the first plague that afflicted them.
No, they were the ones that they brought inside from the Egyptians one. And then they were afflicted. And I'm sure they took the Jews. I'm sure they had some left. Okay? So it's very interesting. Why Bechor Shivcha? Rashi says, why Bechor Shivcha? What did they do? Lama laku b'nei ha-shvachot?
Because of the ordinance to begin with. Pharaoh ordered them to kill the male born.
But why are they guilty? Meaning they're slaves too. Bechor Shivcha. What did the Shivchot do? Why are they being punished the same way that, you know, B'chor Mitzrayim, I understand. Why the B'chor Shivcha? They're slaves too.
And they also inflicted the Jews.
So the simple answer is, there's a gzera. Like Chazal say, when the Satan is Yotze, the Satan is Yotze. Right? There's no distinction. Right? That's in general. But Chazal say something interesting. They say, they deserved it too, because they celebrated. Afilu hashvachot tochonot berechaim hayu omrot, ritzoneinu b'shibudeinu, Yisrael b'shibudan. They also were happy that the Jewish people were suffering. And it raises a lot of interesting theological questions. for you know, collective punishment and in Israel and how like the civilian population is suffering. It raises a lot of questions that we'll be talking about. Are there people who, like, are there innocent civilians in this conflict or not? You know, the things that we hear about, like, what does the average person in the street of Gaza think? What does he say? You know, it's hard to know. Hard to know, you know, that Leah's in there, yeah. Okay, so Chazal say, it's interesting, it raises an issue of fairness. Chazal seemed to imply that if they were innocent, then they shouldn't be punished. But they're not innocent.
In the back of the innocent.
Right. There's no such thing as an innocent,
bystander.
It's very interesting. Okay? That's not the pshat, but that's what it is. Okay?
I conjured the image of, you know, how you have those babies with their grenades nursing? Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you say that.
That's the father. Image, that's the parent. That's not the kid.
No, but I'm saying,
nutty father.
You're saying the maidservants. I'm saying, like, they're indoctrinating the future generation.
Yeah. Okay, v'hayta tze'aka gdola b'chol eretz Mitzrayim asher kamohu lo nihiyata v'kamohu lo tosif. And there will be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, like there never was in Mitzrayim, v'kamohu lo tosif, and there never be. Okay, so for me, the issue is, so these two psukim are, the firstborn are going to die, and it's going to be the worst death that's ever been and will ever be. What does that sound like?
The three before this were the same.
To me, it sounds like interesting. It sounds like that's the element of punishment. I.e., it's not like it's going to be the worst thing you ever had. You know, remember we talked about that's the third level. Even though there's a warning here, nonetheless, it's not to get the Jewish people to leave. It's also to get the Jewish people to leave. What I'm trying to suggest is we had that three category number three, Kinim, Ardevet Shechim, Choshech, that each one was a punishment without warning. So here, how do you give a punishment if you're being warned? It has to be a punishment because the idea is you're going to suffer. The point of this is to make you suffer. Okay? And you're going to suffer like you never suffered before. Now, the next pasuk. And you could say that's a stretch. I don't know.
It's a stretch.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Well, l'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yecharat kelev. This is not a stretch. The next one is not. Lo yecharat kelev l'shono l'mei ishvad b'hema. Okay, for all of the Jewish people, Lo yecherat kelev l'shono. How does he translate that? Like the dog will not lick his lips or something? He won't.
No dog shall wet his tongue.
No dog shall wet his tongue to do what?
To bark.
To bark. No dog will bark. L'me'ishad behema. L'man teiduna sheyafle Hashem bein Mitzrayim uvein Yisrael. Okay, so that obviously, what is that connected to? This is very important. The l'man teidu does appear. Where does l'man teidu appear? Everyone with the charts? Where does l'man teidu, which category, which column does L'man Teidun appear?
God's power?
We have three columns. First column, second column, third column. Which one does it appear in? Anyone? It always appears in the first. Okay? Remember, if you just, I'll quote for you, right? In Makadam, the first one, B'zot Teida. So you will know that I am God. The fourth one, Aro was L'man Teida Ki Ani Hashem B'Kerev Haaretz. Right, the presence of God. It wasn't that there is God and the presence of God in the land. Barad was Ba'avur Teida Ki En Kamoni B'Chol Haaretz. There is none like me. And now we have Machat B'Chorot L'man Teiduna Sheyafle Hashem Bein Mitzrayim V'Bein Yisrael. Right, God can do. This is another L'man Teidun. This isn't a stretch at all. This is actually Chad. Okay? Yeah. That this is, do you like this one better?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. Okay, it's a direct connection. So this is a direct continuation of this theme. That this plague isn't just to punish you, it's also to create the understanding and the awareness of that there is this God and that God is Lahafli in order to make this distinction. Remember, we had this in the Makkah of. Okay? Arov. In Arov was L'man Teida, was a first. Okay? But in that parasha it said, okay, L'man Teida, you will know, Ani Hashem, Hifleti Bayom Ahu et Eretz Goshen. We have this idea of Hafla'a. What does it mean to have Hafla'a? Hafla'a is distinction. Hafla'a is to separate between. L'hafli. So it's interesting that this
now
is
the word in modern Hebrew is used as discrimination.
Right, aflaya.
Right.
Aflaya. But we had this idea of the hafli, this distinction between good and not good. So this also fits into the theme of kachatzot halayla. Just like the midnight splits between the beginning and the second, the end of the night. So here we have this exact idea. Okay, v'hifleti ani. Here we are. L'man te'dun. So that you will know. Asher yafle Hashem bein Mitzrayim u'bein Yisrael. Okay, that there's this idea of this distinction. That's the second part. So we had punishment, the tsa'aka. We had the lama'an tidu, the awareness. And what was the third one? The third one was the second column. So we did the column one. Column one was, so you will know that I am God. Column three was punishment. What was column two that we said? What was the purpose of column two in each one?
You have the second plague in each
set. Second plague in each set. The second plague in each set was?
Coercion.
To do what?
To acknowledge Hashem's control of the world.
No, that was the first one. The second was coercion. What do you want to coerce the Egyptians to do?
To let my people go.
Let my people go. Each one was let my people go. Okay? So now let's look at Makap HaKorot. Pasuk Chet. V'yardu kol avadecha elai v'yishtachavu l'neymor tsei ata v'chol ha'am asher b'raglecha v'achrechein etze. Right? And your servants will come to me and bow down and say, please leave. And then I'll leave. Vayetzein be'im paro b'chariah. And Moshe left paro b'chariah in great anger.
Paro was in anger.
No.
Moshe was in anger.
Unclear.
Yeah.
I always assume Moshe, but I don't know.
Why would Moshe?
Did everybody understand? You understand what I'm saying? That these last psukim are correspond to the second category. So in my chart that I would make for you, I have a direct an element of each element of each row of each sorry each column in your chart. Right. Each element points to an element of Makap HaKorot. The Makap HaKorot is the culmination of all of the Makot. The Makot were to establish domination of God. They were to punish the Egyptians. They were to coerce. Right? And Makap HaKorot represents the culmination of all three.
Why would Moshe be angry? Paro, because he would be angry. Why would Moshe be angry if he's just carrying out?
Vayetzei me'im paro b'chari'af. So does b'chari'af. I always assume vayetzei b'chari'af. Right? It didn't make sense. Me'im paro b'chari'af. Does?
It makes more contextual sense. Yeah, to say that Moshe was angry.
Right. The text. Why is Moshe mad? Why would Moshe be mad? Yeah, I mean seriously. Like enough already. You know, I can't. Like he's angry at him.
I think
made him go through all these punishments. He didn't want to. He's a good person. He didn't want to.
Who's a good person?
Seems like a liberal. Totally not me.
What?
Like he didn't want to, you know, put these plagues upon Paro and his people. You know, you forced me to kill you. You know.
Rashi says. So you don't understand what Rashi says. Okay, one second. There's a problem. There's a textual problem. Look at the end of Choshech. Look, go back to Yud Chav Zayin. Yud Chav Zayin at Choshech. Okay? Then Paro says, okay, what do you want? I'll let you go. Okay? I should go back a little bit more. Vayikra Paro el Moshe Chav Dalet. See where I am? Yud Chav Dalet, Yud 24. Vayikra Paro el Moshe Vayom el Luchu Ivdu et Hashem Rastun Chem Yubachar Chem Yutzak. After Choshech. Okay, fine. You can go, but just leave your sheep and cattle. Okay? Even take the kids, whatever. Just don't leave the sheep and cattle. Now, we're taking the cattle. You're going to give us cattle so we can worship our God. He's like, he always like, you know, sticks it to him. Okay? We're not leaving anything. Not a thinking thing. We'll take it to worship our God. How can we leave anything? What happens if we leave the chopsticks? And it turns out we need chopsticks. We need to take every single thing, every animal, every whatever. So Paro says, you know what? No.
Forget it.
But Yomar lo Paro, lech me'alai. Right? Get out of here. Hishamer lecha al tosef ro'ot panai.
Make sure you don't look at me, my face.
I don't want to see. Tamut. The next day, the day you see my face, you're a dead man. Paro. Chatzuf, right? Paro. Vayomer Moshe, kein dibarta. So Moshe says,
"You said it.
You said it. I'm never going to see your face again."
He did.
There's only one problem.
He did.
It's opposite.
Wait, there's only one problem. Moshe has more to say.
Right.
Right. So they're in this like heated, like, I don't want to ever see your face again. You're a dead man. And I go, you got it. I'm never going to see my face again. And there's only one problem. Okay, God comes to Moshe and says, I got one more thing to say. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't leave yet. Vayomer, so the implication is, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. So God said to Moshe, right then and there. Like, either that or he had told him before. Od nega echad avi al paro.
Why do you say it's right then and there?
How else? Because Moshe, because it says, so Rashi says, remember we said, why was he so mad? Rashi says he was so mad. Why? Al sha'amar lo, al tosif ro'od panai. Paro was chasuf. Paro says, I never want to see you again. And Moshe said, you'll never see me again. So how is it possible that he said, you'll never see me again, if the very next parsha, Moshe says, oh, by the way, there's one more thing I have to tell you.
I'll never see you again, but this one.
Never see you again. Remember how we said I'll never see you again? I just have one more thing to tell you. Right. Like,
well,
it's so like.
A minute. Do you think. Do you think the whole section of the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph happened previously?
No. You did, we're right then and there.
No. It can't happen right then and there because in the Pasuk Gimel, Vayitein Hashem et chen ha'am b'nei Mitzrayim, gam ha'ish Moshe gadol ma'od b'eretz Mitzrayim b'nei avdei paro b'nei ha'am. While he's standing
in
Paro's palace, Hashem's working his magic on the rest of the nation.
One second.
And you weren't following.
Pasuk, I know exactly what you were going to ask because I was looking for Rashi to answer you. Vayomer Moshe on Pasuk Dalet ko amar Hashem, says Rashi, be'amdo lifnei paro ne'emra lo nevuah zo.
But what about that
happened later. That happened later. When he told them to borrow stuff to ask the Egyptians, your question is a great question. So when did that happen?
That's what I'm asking you.
Probably it happened afterwards.
No, it can't happen afterwards because it starts with Od Nega Echad Avi Al Paro.
Right.
It can't happen afterwards.
Well, one second. Rashi says, "Vayomer Moshe be'amdo lifnei Paro ne'emar lenavu azo." Right, that as they were standing there, this happened. Why? Sharei mishiyatam lefanav lo hosifra od panav. You understand what I'm saying? Or not really?
I do see.
No, you have no idea? Okay, let's go back. What we just learned, look at, you see where I am at the end of
Yud.
Let me explain.
You're saying that it doesn't say that Moshe left. He says, fine, I'll never see your face again, but it doesn't say, Vayetse Moshe mipnei
Paro. You see where it says, Vayomer Moshe, like at the end, Paro, lech mi alai, get out of here. And Moshe says, no problem, I'll never see your face again.
But he doesn't.
Right? There's only one problem. In about 5 psukim, Moshe's going to talk to Paro again. So how could he be like, I'll never see your face again? And then you're like, yeah, remember, I left my wallet. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like so. Right, it's like so bad. You know, like just, I'm not here.
You know what
I'm saying? Exactly. So Rashi says, he never left. That when it says, Vayomer Moshe ko amar Hashem, so says God, what happens is, right then and there, Moshe got a little, you know, APB, bulleted right then, and God said, don't leave yet. You got one more thing to say. Moshe was divinely inspired and gave him the last message. You understand? So what Rina's saying is, hold on a second. Okay.
The part,
what about in between? Okay. Daberna be'aznei ha'am v'yishalu ishnei etre ehu. What about the part where it speaks to the Jewish people and they should take stuff? And then it says, v'yitein ha'am etchein b'nei Yisrael, right? You know, and God, Moshe, God placed the favor. So you have to say, how do you answer that according to Rashi? What do you have to say? What's the chronology of those
psukim?
It happened after.
At some point,
that took place.
If he's telling him all those things.
No, but I'm saying that, what about the people? What about the, it says there's a fact that happened.
But then why is it written here if it happened later? You have to fix it from all angles. Okay, fine. Don't argue that it happened later.
Rina, did Moshe see Paro again after this discussion? Did he ever see him
only
again?
Only in his house, only when he came knocking on his door.
Paro never came to him. Paro like screamed in pajamas up to Moshe.
Moshe.
Right. They didn't even see each other.
How do you know he was in pajamas? Whatever.
Okay,
anyway,
whatever.
I don't think he was in pajamas.
The song.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, but the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, then you have to explain. If you find Monagi, let's say that it happened later. Ein mukdam u'mukhaber Torah, but there's still a reason for the order in which it's written.
Or she was catching his breath.
Why is it written here?
Dramatic pause.
You have a dramatic pause by the fact that you have a parshat p'tucha.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's a space there, that's your dramatic pause. That already opens up the possibility of something else happening.
I understand what you're saying. No matter what you do, you're stuck. I think you cannot suggest.
I think you're not sharing all the Rashi's. Rashi has.
I'm hiding your Rashi's.
You are.
You mean about the Rashi's of chronology? You mean about in here? About
there,
the beginning
because
of
Rashi always connects it. If he says that it's not in order, first of all, he'll say it's not in order. But second of all, he'll always connect it and explain them why. Ma'inyan Shmita Esel Harsi.
See, if I'm hiding Rashi's, I don't think I'm hiding Rashi's.
Okay.
But the point is, it's fascinating that this is all one conversation, according to Rashi. And I think according to Pshat, it seems to be Pshat. Otherwise, you lose the whole dramatic impact of, I'll never see you again. Fine, you'll never see me again. I'll kill you if you ever see you again. No problem. You know what I'm saying? And then it says, Rashi says, Vayetzi Ma'im Paro B'charia. Moshe left in anger. Why did he have an anger? How dare you talk to me that
way?
Wait,
sorry, Rina. That makes
it doesn't
sense.
Say that Moshe
what?
Spoke to
now you understand?
Moshe.
Yeah, that makes sense. And
no,
they never saw him again.
It says that Hashem spoke to Moshe. And said Moshe should speak to the people. He
but then you
to
have
Paro to speak to the people.
Where are you talking about? Where are you? Where are you?
In Yud Aleph. Just said to Moshe, one more place shall I bring upon Paro, blah, blah, blah. After he shall send you forth from here.
Good. When did that happen? When did that discussion happen?
Saying
what we're suggesting is if in the moment.
Right.
What about the next pasuk?
No.
Well, because please speak in the ears of the people. He's telling him, in addition to telling Paro that there's one more plague, you also need to speak to your
next
people.
Pasuk, one more.
Let each man request that
that's
after,
the same pasuk. Next
right?
Pasuk.
Hashem granted the people favor in the eyes of Egypt.
When did that happen? That's not part of the Nebuah.
According to Rashi, that has to be part of the Nebuah.
Vayitain Hashem?
Yeah.
No, it would be, that's hard to say. That's a fact.
But he has already done that.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
But Hashem has already granted people favor in the eyes of
We are like so in the weeds. Okay. Right. That pasuk gimel is tricky.
You let us there.
I know. It's fine.
Gimel?
I'm comfortable with that.
Gimel?
Yeah, pasuk gimel is tricky because when did the vayitena Hashem and Fein Ha'am? When did that actually happen? It's tricky. Yud Aleph gimel is tricky.
And through nine, as it's like for.
And you wouldn't
I'm comfortable with it.
And you wouldn't
that's out of place.
You could also say that Vayitain was previously. You
right.
could say that is a statement, you know, Hashem had given.
Right. Because the Egyptians were going to Paro and they were saying, let them
now
go.
You're stretching.
Past
now you're
perfect.
Now you're stretching.
But the Egyptians were already going to Paro and saying, no, like, come on, we've had enough of this.
Yeah,
well,
hold on 1 second. Okay. We did Makap B'Chorot. We did the warning for B'Chorot. We saw that it corresponded to our theme. Are we good about that? Everybody comfortable to some degree? Whatever. Come back to, okay.
I'm trying to see where he didn't tell Paro now that this is what's going to happen to them.
He does.
Yeah. What do you mean? Where are you? Pasuk Dalet. Yud Aleph, Dalet.
But that.
Moshe, Vayomer Moshe. Moshe said, so saith God. Okay? He's telling, it's clear that he's warning Paro. He's still talking to Paro. Says Rashi, this is the end of the last conversation between Moshe and Paro. The problem is, and see at the end it says that Moshe left in anger. That bothers me. It's just, why is he angry?
Because he's just had the fight with Paro. Paro's just. Ticked him off. Like
there's a reason why they're telling us
he's
that.
Like, fine, you'll never see me again. I'll never see you again. And not only that, but every firstborn will
come. Do you understand what it bothers me?
Yeah. But
Moshe Rabbeinu should be like, cool.
Paro,
no.
Human.
What?
He's human.
I don't know.
Is it personal? Is Paro personally against him? I guess he says, I'm going to kill you.
But he also, yeah, he's human.
He's not human.
Maybe he's
accepted,
even though he wants them all gone, but. Even Ezra agrees that it happened
right then
and
there. It had to be, yeah. It has to be.
No.
Okay.
Never,
even Ezra is
okay.
The shot guy.
Okay,
no.
Fine.
Okay, now you accept it?
That his response of leaving in anger was because he said, you're never going to see my face.
See, what's interesting is, what's very interesting...
Well, Paro was like a circus father to Moshe in the early years.
No,
like,
no. That Paro died. This is his brother-in-law. This is his like stepbrother. Yeah. That power died. Really? The power running after him. Remember, Moshe went to Midian.
Right.
And the power said that God said to him, the power that was looking after you died. The one that was trying to kill you. So who's the subsequent power?
The uncle, the cousin, the brother,
the son. The next power. Moshe knew them all.
Didn't you see the movie? Isn't it like his half brother?
Right, it's like his half brother. Like they grew up together. They had chariot races. You never saw that. They had chariot races together.
Why there was hatred between them?
Right. It must be like that. That must be exactly the way it was. Yeah. Right. Okay. No, but he knew. He clearly knew him. He clearly knew him personally. He grew up in the house.
I wish the people who are listening to this year would understand that there's sarcasm. Like you can't. See
Wait, I want to say, but now they just beautifully. Look at the pasuk Gimel again.
Yeah.
Okay, the favor of God was in the favor of the nation in the eyes of Egypt. Moshe had grown to be a great man in the eyes of the servants of Pharaoh, in the eyes of the nation.
Which nation?
Who's missing?
Israel.
No. He Israel always loved him. Pharaoh's missing. There's only one person that's still. Bazala.
So that's what he's angry about.
Like everybody else is like, Moshe comes in, and Pharaoh's like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the one person who still doesn't respect Moshe.
It's similar to Haman and Mordechai.
No.
So that's why he's angry. That answers the question why he's angry.
It would make sense. The whole world, Pharaoh, the whole world. But it makes it more personal. It makes it much more personal.
Yeah, but it's appropriate anger.
I don't know. It bothers me.
No, it's appropriate anger.
Why should it be personal?
It's for Hashem. He's angry for Hashem. It's a good anger.
It's one over. Yeah. That's what you say, except for Pharaoh. And because of Pharaoh, all these people have to die.
That's why he's angry?
For sure, because if they all respect him and they're okay with this, then why must their children die?
And it's
the fact that Hashem is the one who's making it all happen.
Yeah, didn't God say, God says it has to be this way.
In the next pasuk in Pasuk Ted, he says,
Paro will not listen to you in order to live both, to make many my wonders. Wait, listen. I'm in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud. Moshe and Aaron did all of the signs before Paro. When did this happen? These two psukim, when did this happen? Is this something new? Or is it a synopsis of everything that happened before? Clearly a synopsis. I'm glad you all said that. It happens to be a machloket actually into the Gemara. All the way in the Gemara. The Gemara says, one second, I'll just find you. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nehemiah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaParsha Azo Mitchilat HaMakot Yimidaveret. It's looking back. This whole little section is looking back. And by the way, this is beautiful because remember we said, who did each one? Aaron, Moshe. And so we have the synopsis of Moshe and Aaron like they did this whole thing together. Okay? Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Bimekomah Yamura. There's like this last, it's hard to say. Rabbi Nehemiah is more difficult to say that it's like that they actually did more signs. How many more signs do you want them to do? Bimakoma hi amura. After all the makot,
it is
one more try.
No, the question is when the psukim were said. It's not what are the psukim talking about.
Moshe and Aaron asu et kol hamoftim lifnei paro. They did it. I mean, they did something more, or it's referring back. Bimakoma hi amura. It means it's saying like he won't.
It's written now as a synopsis as opposed to earlier as a prediction.
Okay. So, what do you mean? You think, so what's their argument? What are they arguing about?
Are these psukim written earlier as a prediction of what the story is going to tell? Or is it now as a synopsis of what happened in the past?
Lo Yishma Alechem Paro now, or Lo Yishma
Alechem Paro in Makad Dam. I just want to let you know that this is going to be a long road. This is not a one-time thing. It's going to be a long road, and you will be doing many moftim in order to get to our end goal. Or is he saying it now? It has been a long road, and you did many moftim in order to get to our goal, but we're now at the end.
It's like a summary of Zion, Tosaf Zion in Vayera.
Where are you? What chapter?
Allah.
Zion, Pasuk?
Perek Aleph.
Pasuk Zayin?
Okay. This is like summarizing that whole thing.
So you're saying that goes back. That is a summary. It's a summary of Moshe, and everything that God said would happen actually did happen in the end. Okay. I agree with you, but there are two. I'm trying to understand the other position.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
No, I don't. What's the other position?
Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. When did he say that? When did Hashem say Paro isn't going
to? Lo Yishma Alechem Paro. Right. So I understand when you say it was going back.
Is he saying only Lo Yishma Alechem Paro right now?
Right.
In the last Makkah, so that I can do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Moshe Aaron asu, and Moshe Aaron had already done many Moshe.
Oh, yeah. Or
that's the second opinion.
No. What's the first opinion?
The first opinion is that this whole parasha was said at Makadam. And Hashem said, Paro, at some point down the road, or even now, Paro's not going to listen to you,
uh-huh.
And you will do Moshe Ba'aron Ya'asu et Kol HaMoftim.
Moshe Ba'aron, either way, Moshe Ba'aron Asu is difficult. Asu, you shall do? Okay, whatever. What do we emerge with this? That the Makot were a clearly designed system built to accomplish three different things, which they accomplished exactly as they're intended to. To, on the one hand, establish the presence of God, both for the Egyptians and also for the Jewish people. Right? And it was built to come to a culmination where both nations would have to achieve that. I want to point out, to share with you a last final midrash. Okay? The midrash says, Mibuchor Paro, right? From Bechor Paro, where does it say? 1 second. Hayoshev al kiso ad Bechor, kol Bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim. What doesn't it say? It says, every Bechor in Eretz Mitzrayim. What would you have expected it to say?
Egyptian.
Kol Bechor Mitzri. It doesn't say that. Okay, so Makat Bechorot wasn't a Makat of the Egyptians. It was a Makat of the Egyptians and the Jews. Says the Midrash. Okay.
And the...
Haksherim Shebe Mitzrim Ba'u Ve'asu Pesach in Yisrael Ve'alu Imahem.
Right, remember there was a thing about
the Egyptians, who were kosher, they came and did Korban Pesach, and they came, v'gam erev rav, v'laitam, there was some who left. V'chol mi sheratzu shelo yiga'alu Yisrael, anyone Jew who didn't want to, metu im ha-bechorim, sh'ne'amar v'yachko b'chor Mitzrayim. It was no longer Egyptian or Jew, it was believer, non-believer. It was, are you inside the house, or are you outside the house?
You're painting your door.
That's right. That's right. It was called Bechor Mitzrayim. Okay?
So the Egyptians that believed painted their doorposts?
No, they joined in the Jews.
They came to
the
Jews.
They came, right. That night.
They came to their house.
That night, before they closed the doors, everybody knew it was going to happen. Or everybody knew what everybody said was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
That was the test. Do you believe or don't you believe?
Wow.
But how can they, if all these Makot were, if the whole Am knew that they were Makot from Hashem, how could they be non-believers?
Yeah, I don't. I accept your question and reject it at the very same time, because it's obvious they're non-believers. You always hold in your mind. There's a reason. There's an explanation. So now you want to suggest that?
No, absolutely not.
Well, they're non-believing Jews. What do you mean there were non-believing Jews?
But it wasn't his opinion. So they do things
as natural events and not directly from Hashem.
Or this is the end, or the God. People believe. I have to tell you, we're the same way. We believe what we want to believe. Belief is a choice, right? And it's a hard choice. It's a challenging choice, but we believe what we want. We believe what we want to be able to see. Hold on 1 second. Can you make sure there's a bag? Can you bring me the bag? There's a bag in my chair. In the chair that's kind of hiding. It's a great way to stop. I'm gonna end with a vort about this idea of emunah. Is there a brown bag there? Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so I share this with my students. It's a great place to finish about the idea that Pesach. Here we go. Pesach is a night of emunah. Hold on. Yeah, you can give you copies. Here's one. If you want to follow inside. Okay?
Where is this?
This is from a rope class last night. I'm doing the starting with the Makot. Okay? Says the okay? The idea, I have more, I have one more. Yes. One second. One and two. Okay. Okay. I was developing the idea of experiencing freedom. Okay? So the Midrash talks about the idea that the Jewish people were at all historical events, that we were at not only Har Sinai, but we were also at Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Midrash develops this idea. Okay, that the idea is of reliving the Yetziat Mitzrayim is important for us as well. Look on page 2 if you have it. Amud Shtayim, page 2, line 19. It's good to have line numbers. Page 2. This is from the Tivot Shalom. Okay, it was the Hasidic word. It's very popular. Very popular. Hine, see where I'm line 19 where it says, see you the dot, dot, dot on line 19? Hine, Amru Chazal.
Have you got an extra
page? Do I have an extra page? You guys want to learn? Can you guys share? And you guys share?
Yeah.
I have page 4, but I don't have any. Okay, see where it says, Hine, Amru Chazal? Said the sages, B'zchut emunah nigalu avotenu mimitzayim, in the merit of emunah, of faith, our forefathers were redeemed. Ubiskut emunah atitim lihigael, and the merit of faith, we will be redeemed in the future. Ukumoshi yitziat mitzayim nigalu biskut emunah. Okay, just like in Egypt, they were just redeemed because of their faith. They declared their faith. They slaughtered the korban pesach. Kachu lad mitzayim shebachol shana v'shana hi biskut emunah. He says every year chayav adam liot et atzmo kihu liatam mitzayim. There's an aspect of Geulat Mitzrayim each year. We relive this redemption. There's a not just personally, there's a real redemption each year in the merit of Emunah. Hayinu b'koach ha'emunah ha'bihira. Through the power of the clear faith, shiyudi ba'amin, that the Jew believes, shebechol shana b'shana yesh yitziat Mitzrayim, that every year there is a yitziat Mitzrayim. V'chi b'leil Pesach yachol lihishtanot mazalo mira'a liyafa. On Pesach, your mazal can turn from bad to good. Through this is a person's redemption and his bedut nafsho, the redemption of his spirit. I'm on line 23 of the three dots. This obligation to see yourself as if you were redeemed. He min ha'avodot ha'kashot va'ikariot ba'avodat seder mitzvot ha'layla ha'kadosh hazeh. He says it's the most important, but the hardest element of the Seder night. Telling a story is easy. You know, eating the food is easy. Having the faith that this is a night of redemption for you today, a real night of redemption, that's very hard. To believe that this year, every year, I'm really going out of Egypt. As it says, Lashon Chayav, you have to. Mashma'oto, Ad Kedei Mesirat Nefesh. You are Chayav. Chayav Adam liyot et atzmo kihiyu liyatzah mitzrayim. To have the faith to believe that I am being redeemed right now. Literally. V'kol kama shemachdir v'tocho et ha'amunah she'ata behovel yitzah mitzrayim al yedei zeh mamshichet v'ulato u'pedut nafsho. This is the trick. You want to be redeemed? You really want to be redeemed? You have to believe you're being redeemed. The more you choose to believe, the more you'll be redeemed. This year.
Nice.
Just like it's a nice way to end. The redemption happened for the people that believe then. That's easy for us to believe. It says in the Tivot Shalom, or as he would call himself, in the Nesivah Shalom, right? He says, you want to relive it today, you have to instill in yourself that same level of faith and emunah. Which, as he acknowledges, is actually very hard.
I think for us it's a little bit easier.
What?
I think for us it's a little bit easier.
Why do you say that?
We've gone through the experience of leaving behind everything we knew that was comfortable, blah blah blah, and put faith in what we're doing.
So that was fine for that year. What's your redemption for this year?
So you have that memory to help you along.
I would like to say, I think it's more powerful. Like it's worthwhile to consider to digest this idea of personal redemption, because we all have things from which we need to be on so many different levels. And to see the idea of Yitziat Mitzrayim as a Laila, as a night of redemption, is a very important thing, mm-hmm. and a very powerful thing. and something that everyone can relate to and should relate to. But the trick is, of course, it takes work. Mm. It takes the preparation, and it takes the, how shall I say this? The Korban Pesach was risk. It demanded
that's
the Jews, yeah, but it demanded the Jewish people put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't get to be redeemed unless you put yourself out there. And that's a hard thing to do.
Sounds like therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.